and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God, it's time to feel good. 6 minutes after the hour, and it's been over a month.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that God. Heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Daddy's home. Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes!
Everybody just wait there. Daddy's been out of town for a month.
Okay. What happened?
Hal Sparks is home! Yay!
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here, but it was the craziest month to be away.
I know.
You know,
I'm wearing a negligee. I've baked you a hot meal.
I know. You've been to France and back. Mm. Is that cheese I smell?
She got a girlfriend.
I know.
I didn't just get a girlfriend.
No, she got several. No, what?
Stop
well,
it.
No, it's well. Not true.
He's the word. You know when we started Sex for the World Tour, you know what he said to me?
What?
He goes, two words for you. Road see. I was like, ow! I'm a girl!
And
I'm old!
And then 3 dates in, she's like, you know what? You're right.
Wait a minute now.
Hello.
That is not true.
I take
Hal
it back.
Sparks.
You're right. You didn't say that. You just,
Hal
I just
Sparks
never saw you again.
He's a bad influence on everyone.
Walking out of the back door of the Sexy Liberal arena, wherever we're playing, you know, with two girls on each arm.
Oh,
like,
stop it.
Like David Lee Roth in 1981.
Oh, stop it. He's talking about it. He project much? Okay. Anyway, Hal Sparks is back. Sexy Liberal, woohoo! On the road again, Asheville, North Carolina, next Saturday night. We're very, very excited.
Yep. Week from Saturday. Week from this Saturday.
Yes, a week from Saturday, Asheville, North Carolina.
And then first Seattle up. After that.
Well, director. Listen, it's pardon me, it's one weekend after another. It's going to, yes. SexyLiberal.com is the website, Sexy Liberal on Facebook.
October's going to go nuts.
Yes, October's going nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. Julie.
D-A-N-A-N-A-N.
Julie in Seattle, no, not her, a different 40% more French and gay Julie in Seattle. That one. It's a different Juliet.
Oh.
Mm. Hey, Steph, I bought my Sexy Liberal tickets for October 1st months ago and just recently also got tickets to see the fabulous Shelley Wright on the very same day.
Whoa.
The official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's amazing.
Playing.
It's all happening.
And you know what? We support you going to see Shelley October 1st. You know why?
Why?
Because we're already sold out for that.
Ta-da!
But you can still get tickets to the Friday show.
Yeah.
Searching for something better to do than sip lattes at the original Starbucks? Well, come sip some sexy. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Seattle. Here we are now. And you will be entertained.
So, the flannel shirt deal, is that a nod to the crispy Seattle weather?
By overwhelming demand, the second show on Friday is now on sale. On September 30th, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the woman who is sharper than the Space Needle, Stephanie Miller, will spread their progressive sound across the Puget Sound. Tickets are available online at stgpresents.org or by calling 877-784-4849. It's more affordable than a low-fat, half-calf, double espresso mocha ice frappuccino. Get ready, Seattle, to be sleepless, sweaty, and sexy.
Yeah, thank you very much. All right.
That's gonna be stuck
my birthday weekend.
A month and a half, sexy ass.
Wait a minute. You're going to be in Seattle the same weekend as Shelley Wright on your birthday?
No, I turned 15 on September 29th.
And then 15 on September
15. I turned 15 on September 29th.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that'll stick.
That's fun. My birthday's 4 years.
I know.
4 days.
I know it.
Libra.
He's my Libra soulmate.
Yep.
Anyway, Juliet continues. She bought tickets for Shelley on the same day. I have the date circled on my paper calendar. I'm working on a babysitter for my wiener dog, Cletus. Good luck with that. I am super excited. Thanks for asking. But I'm also stressed out. You see, as a lifelong malcontent with a raging case of happy clappy envy, I'm afraid this type of double dipping will cause my head to explode in a white hot ball of country fried sexy liberal lesbian bliss. Mm. Will you have paramedics standing by like when Oprah gave everyone a car? Please be gentle, Juliet. We may have to. We may have to get some paramedics standing by.
Oh,
all right. So tickets going fast for the Friday night show and also the Friday night show in Los Angeles. There's a few tickets left before October 21st.
The Saturday is gone.
Gone.
Oversold, actually,
yes.
Saturday.
Yes.
Standing in SRO.
Yes.
And it's so L.A. The people are like, I want to go to the sold-out show.
Yeah.
So they're buying more tickets. For the, you can't yes. just, what are you going to do, stand outside with a cup on the wall? Go Friday. You'll be
exactly.
ridiculous.
Exactly. There's those tickets are going fast as well. And
yeah.
then San Francisco, the next weekend, hurry. I think Saturday night, San Francisco sold out as well, but also some Friday tickets available. All right. Because, as you know, I caved. Like I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah, three times in October.
Okay,
that
three
happened.
Times. I said, absolutely no, two shows, only one. Well, okay then. All right. So did you, yeah, what a month for you to be gone.
I know.
Did you enjoy the Republican debate?
Yeah.
Yay for dead people. Yay for dying.
Yay
for killing.
Let
yay.
Him die.
Yay.
Let them die. Yay. Poor people. Useless eaters.
Yeah.
It's stunning. The interesting thing is, because of what the UK has been through, things like the Blitz and Nazism.
Yes.
They tend to take things a little more in stride than we do about this stuff. So they're sitting there going, oh, it's your turn to be run by crazies. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're, you know, it's interesting to reflect on their non-parliamentary system over here and as not having the ability to choose a second choice in an election cycle where, you know, that allows for a genuine, you know, third party or somebody to actually go in this. You can go, yeah, I'm voting for the Democrat because I really believe it. But if he's not going to win, then I vote for this guy.
Right.
You know, and that... It's amazing that they're able to do that.
Right. And we were talking about the Wiener seat, and the CNN is huge upstate upstate New York. And as we were saying, that was going to be redistricted
out anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be Republican for the last 3 months of its existence or whatever.
I think Wiener probably said, you know what? I'm just going to tweet a bunch of pictures of my.
Right, that's the easiest way out, you know.
It gives the GOP bragging rights for a few months,
I would love that was an actual strategy meeting. They're all sitting around, Anthony Weiner, and is like, you know, we're going to be redistricted of existence, so we've got a couple of options. We're going to, I've got
one
a power.
Is, I'm
got
just a, spitballing here.
Yeah,
stick with me.
Yeah, I got a PowerPoint presentation.
Yes.
One is.
There's my from a different angle.
Yeah, right.
The gym mirror.
I could resign for family reasons. That's kind of a hack.
Yeah.
I could get a lobbyist job, but that's a little Evan Bay. or I could just tweet pictures of my junk. What do you say? Just a round of applause.
Everybody? Wait, everybody? Junk? Okay.
I'm going to go with junk. Tweet pictures of your junk.
Okay.
It's kind of genius, actually. Like, now he's got...
who did it before him?
Better
he's like,
to
no,
burn
that
out
was
than
my
fade
idea.
Away,
yeah,
think.
But I did this with my hands when I said I'm going to tweet pictures of my...
Right, exactly.
Because mine is this big. I did that with my hands.
Mercy.
Okay, mercy. Who was the person? Because someone did do it first. Who, there were other pictures of somebody who was probably a Republican, though. I don't remember.
Oh, well,
there have been many.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, check Craigslist any weekend.
Oh, yeah, that was the original guy in New York
that
tweeted. Okay.
Yeah, the Craigslist guy was trying to pick up ladies on the family values candidate. Again, isn't that the issue? That if you're running on a family values ticket, you're held to a slightly higher standard in that kind of thing. I mean, if you're just hating on somebody, it's a different ballgame.
Yeah, and you're too dumb because you're like, hi, hello, Internet. I'm a congressman, and here's my picture.
Right.
I hope this doesn't become public in any way.
Well, before that, it was sex lines. Remember sex chat lines?
Yes.
We had that one guy that in Virginia that said that he was really worked out, really buffed out. He was looking for a guy.
Oh, sure.
Remember that?
Sure, sure. Oh, was he the one that took the picture that was, I was trying to figure it out. It was very gymnastic.
No, that was the Republican in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Where he was on both, he was on his hands and knees on his bed.
In front of
a
mirror.
And pointing the iPhone at the mirror.
Yeah. Right. Which is pretty impressive, actually. I mean, granted, now that it's easier to do with a modern iPhone because it's got cameras on
both sides.
That's a Kundalini guy. That's not Bikram.
Yeah.
That's
Cirque du Soleil.
That's Kundalini yoga.
Kunda what?
Lini.
Okay.
That's not. No, actually, it isn't. We're talking about something totally different. It's very Cirque.
Cirque du Soleil.
It's like
you're right.
Cirque du Soleil.
Uh-huh.
Hi. Like, see what he did there?
Hey, what a guy.
La, 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 la. Cal's back. Okay, here's something that's really new. Since you've been in Scotland, Republican congressional leader sounded dismissive about the president's jobs bill. Because normally, as you know, before you left, they were always so very helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Really on board with everything that would, help America in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, they've been, jobs has been their number one thing after denial of rights for minority groups attacking yes. immigrants and women and
yes,
helping rich people get a bigger distance between them and the rest of
sure.
us.
Sure, yeah. a little space. Yeah. yeah. Okay.
You need a little elbow room.
This isn't about giving me a win. This isn't about giving Democrats or Republicans a win. It's about giving the American people a win. It's about giving Ohio a win.
What's up?
Yeah, I know. What's up? Yeah. Did you see the speech?
Yeah.
And he's
campaign Obama is back.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, campaign Obama.
We missed ye.
Yes, we did. Yes, we can.
The tiptoeing period is over in a lot of ways. I mean, it's expected, I guess, in a campaign season. But up till now, everything's been so held hostage, you don't really have a choice. And so now he's got at least the pressure of an election to try to squeeze out actual work in Congress.
Yeah. The jobs bill, like I was saying, not just a good speech, a really good plan. And we will talk all about that 18 minutes after the hour, right back with Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Mm. Oh, it feels so good to say it again on the Stephanie Miller Show. Mm.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
I want a man with a slow hand. I want a lover with an easy touch. I want somebody who will spend some time, not come and go in a heated rush.
That's disgusting. Come and go in a heaving rush.
Heated. I think heated.
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 Not heaving. That is disgusting.
That's disgusting.
20 feet of life.
Still disgusting.
23 minutes.
It just sounds like heaving. It sounds like. I like that old.
My favorite foreplay line is in the Prince song. Your body's jamming, your face is.
Slamming.
Let's get to ramming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Can't argue with that.
Stop sweet talking me.
That got Sheena Easton into bed.
It works. I guess that works for somebody.
I think that come and go in a heated rush. It reminds me of that I think it was Kathy Ladman actually that old Harry, get off of me.
I think it's Susie Essman that does the thing where she's looking behind her. What are you doing? What are you doing back there? All right. Speaking of which, I'm just guessing this. You've had one of these.
I don't know yet.
History's most annoying ex-girlfriend. Dutch woman calls ex-boyfriend 65,000 times.
Oh my God!
Wow.
What you doing? What you thinking about? Okay.
65,000 times.
Come on. You got to give it up for sister for a little persistence.
Yeah, I mean.
Dutch prosecutors charging a 42-year-old woman with stalking after she allegedly called her ex-boyfriend 65,000 times in the past year. Well, it's over a year.
Still.
Police arrested the suspected stalker. You try it.
Uh-huh. Suspected stalker.
Suspected stalker. It's easier in Sweden.
Seizing several cell phones. Okay. And computers from her home. That's clever. When they try using a different number, that's clever. A different phone, different C. Yeah, they won't know where it's coming from. He won't know what's unknown number, private number. Ha ha ha.
I had to check my math. That's 178 times a day.
You make that sound like it's excessive. The prosecution said the woman argued to the judge that she had a relationship with a man. The number of calls she placed to him was not excessive. See, there's girl stuff, guy stuff. To a girl, not excessive.
Yeah.
You know, that's you being distant.
Well, while you were in Paris.
Where were you the first 170 times I called?
Bonjour, 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 click, bonjour, click, bonjour, click. Bonjour, click, bonjour, click.
Here's the rub. The men denied they had a relationship. So, you know, that if it's someone you don't actually know, then that might be a little much.
What
you thinking, funny face?
Right.
Okay. By the way, we were talking about sexy liberal. I just got this from Roland, tour director. You're right. There's a group psychology thing going on.
Yeah.
L.A., when is that? October 22nd, the Saturday show? It's oversold. There's standing room tickets are being sold.
Yeah.
Tickets for Friday. That's going to be sold out soon, too. And then you can beg to get in Friday.
Right.
Yeah. Why, standing room? Really?
Maybe just try to just say, I'll shift stuff around a little.
Yeah.
And maybe actually get in the building.
Yes.
Go Friday so I can actually
see. Yeah, you can sit, but, you know, but by...
We'll sell you tickets for the sidewalk.
By tomorrow, Friday will
I'm
be sold out.
It.
And people will be like, no, I don't want these stupid Saturday standing room tickets. How do I get in Friday?
Too late.
All right. All right, people, settle.
It's
now,
kind of
one of my favorite things you do in your act, you talk about the being gay is a choice.
Yes, and not being a choice, you know. I mean, there's many.
No, but and then you do the eating thing, that thing.
Yes, that well.
What's the line again?
See it. Oh, well, there's two of them. One is, in America, we think that fat is genetic, but gay is a choice.
That's the one. That's the line. All right, you've been gone for a month.
Yes.
But I just thought this is the perfect example in America. 290-pound man sues White Castle over small boobs.
Oh, small what?
Booths.
Booths.
Oh, phew.
In the White Castle.
Not boobs.
The booths are too small.
They would be small. They'd be
right. Yeah.
And you know how we solved that in America? The restaurant is being replaced, and a new one will have bigger seats. We're going to make bigger seats and bigger burgers. That's how we're going to do about that.
No, the burgers have gotten smaller, ironically enough. They're now in pill form. He also sued because the chewing was taking up too much of the calories he was taking in, and his blossoming was being...
He filed suit. He said he was embarrassed when he tried squeezing his 6-foot, 290-pound frame into the seating of the White Castle. He says he slammed his knee into a metal post under the table and was in pain. The spokesperson at the White Castle headquarters said the restaurant is being replaced, and the new one will be bigger. This will be bigger.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Who goes in and sits in a White Castle? Isn't it all drive-through sacks of small burgers so you can go home and eat them in sorrowful, pitiful silence?
Yes.
Just sucking back sliders.
Your shame. Yes.
Alone.
Stuffing your shame.
Watching unsolved mysteries surrounded by, piles of Kleenex and spent chips. I mean...
Oh, boy.
That's help the anybody. White Castle diet, isn't
it? This will help anybody listening lose weight. Okay, ready? Just try to work on your gag reflex. Pennsylvania man accused of eating raw meat at Walmart and putting it back on the shelf.
Oh!
I don't think I'm going to.
And did you see the picture of him,
too? Oh, God! That made me barf just his picture.
Yeah.
You can,
usually I just send you the text of a story, but I had to include that picture.
Just in case you're buying your meat at Walmart anyway.
I missed it. I'm going to have to look it up on.
Oh, Stephanie's crumpling it up right now.
Splat. Yeah, check that out, everybody. Check that out. Black. All right, 29.
Yo! Oh. Hey! So he was gumming the meat.
Yo.
We know that. It's more of a gnawing.
Could I have some raw meat gummed by an old hobo, please?
Come
on! Could I get a discount on that? 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So tender.
Stephanie Miller.
Frickin' head's pounding. I'm sweating booze and my mouth's killing me.
You're the one who stuffed 4 pool balls in it.
Personal best.
Woo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere now, even from your iPad, with GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on that there, try it free button. Enter the promo code, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. We're in the midst of the very first Hump Days with Hal in over a month.
I know.
Good. All right.
It's moist and tender, like a pile of meat gummed by a weirdo in
a hobo
Walmart.
At Walmart.
A hobo.
That story will stick with you all day, won't it?
If you have not seen the movie Hobo with a Shotgun,
I want
to
see it.
You are predisposed to those kind of movies. You must see it.
Yes.
It's not as entertaining as watching a hobo gum meat.
Raw meat at Walmart.
Yeah. which
I think I just went vegetarian.
Yeah. Maybe that's part of his campaign. Maybe he works for PETA.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go, exactly. PETA. There's an idea.
Sneaky bastard.
We're going to hire people, put people back to work.
More creative than throwing red paint on people, you're right.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? They don't even have to hire a hobo. They can just plant that story, and the media
there
will run
go.
With
there you
it.
Go.
Like the Stephanie Miller Show just
like
did.
Like we just did.
That's wanted. Right. Person with removable teeth do gum meat in Walmart. Apply right.
Don in Delaware has some breaking Guy Lafleur news.
What?
Yeah, I enjoy saying it even more now that I've been in France. Guy Lafleur.
Guy Lafleur.
Guy Lafleur.
And since you're an old hockey fan, you should remember, don't you remember Ron Duguay and for the New York Rangers?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that name now. Yes.
He did all the fashion modeling with back then. But yes. Guy Lafleur's son was arrested again.
Again?
Mark up in Quebec for drugs and violation of probation.
Yeah, apparently he has some issues.
Oh, dear.
Oh, one last thing.
Yes.
Since you're a Little Britain fan.
Yes.
And you love flying, they got a new show out. It's not on BBC yet. It's called Come Fly With Me.
Oh, awesome.
And they have about 20 different characters. It's all about the airport and flying.
Awesome.
Computer says yes.
I'll get on that.
Yes.
Okay. Next time, please try to have a story that also has Sheboygan and Bark Park in it. But thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
he's...
Thank you. We are Symphony of Stupid. Hello. Aldous and Madison, you're on the Stephanie
Miller
Show.
One of those tickets for L.A. are flying out the door.
Because it's that kind of stuff. Hello, Aldous.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, everybody ought to get a real good look at that picture of that old man who ate the raw meat at Walmart, because unless the Koch brothers and ALEC are stopped, that is the face of 98% of America.
Absolutely.
I saw that guy at a tea party, bro.
Yeah. Keep your hands
Let
off my
die.
Government-inspected meat.
Stupid. Now we're over-regulated.
Keep your hands off my government-inspected meat.
Hobos should be allowed to gum raw meat.
I don't want the government to inspect
intrusion.
My meat. Ask Ron Paul about the TSA.
Okay. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what it's doing, shall we? All right. Oh, boy. Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he still has a job?
Mm-hmm.
Romney and Perry both get hammered for their records as governors.
Yes.
Having a record is tough. Just ask our man-child president. In the case of Perry and Romney, they have executive experience. Mm-hmm. Their job records are, for the most part, stellar. Their budgets
stellar?
Are stellar.
Huh?
What?
They are not anti-capitalists.
Huh?
And they didn't sit in Jeremiah Wright's church for 20 years.
Oh.
Nor did they pal around with domestic terrorists. Nor do they have a chip on their shoulders about this country.
A chip?
Wow. Okay, well, where do we start first? Let's review. Stellar?
Right.
Mitt Romney, 47th in job creation out of the entire country? Rick Perry,
more government jobs created.
Double taxes, they're all government jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Or minimum wage jobs.
And even with the rise in jobs there, it didn't keep up with the pace of population growth in the state.
What is it? Did he triple the debt? I can't remember. The only way he even balanced the last budget was the stimulus money that he
remember,
said.
Remember, there's, I think, somewhere in the area of 256 counties in the lovely state of Texas. And how many of them received federal disaster relief fund? Last year, percentage-wise, 10, 15, 20, 100%. That's
wow.
Right. All 256 got federal funds.
Yeah.
Because
the praying for the rain that didn't work so much.
No, it caused fires.
Mm-hmm. Jenny in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jen.
Hi there. Just wanted to say that the guy that was eating the raw meat,
He's
just following Ron Paul's freedom is. The ability to go out and do what you want to
That's
do.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. That's right. And whoever that grosses out, screw you.
That's a job that people...
You hate liberty if you want to eat freshly gummed raw meat from Walmart.
If
you don't love America.
Should we have a stamp that should go on meat that's been gummed by a stranger?
Socialist.
No. Hobo.
Socialist
the
with
market
your...
market will take care
your
of that.
Your socialist crazy hygiene hygiene sort of requirements.
I have a sticker on there that says hobo tenderized.
Mm, yeah, right. Yeah.
For your enjoyment.
Has this been? I don't think this has been sufficiently gnawed on. Because it does, like he ate it, and he put it
it's
back, which says
like,
to me that he wasn't able to get
like
through it.
It's almost like truffle oil, old man.
Right.
Spit.
Oh, isn't it?
It's moisturizes and tenderizes.
That highly acetic kind of old man smoker breath.
Okay, seriously, we need to stop talking about this because I seriously, you know, it's like the breakfast is getting up to here, and now it's up to here.
Yeah.
I'm like, all
right,
I need to.
Oof.
Oh, I apologize.
That.
The five on the Fox News.
What he was holding there was that's apparently the bill that he was telling them last Thursday they had to pass right now.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
If you notice, that was not in a binder. It was held together by a clip.
Paper clip.
Come on, this is your jobs bill. That deserves a large, shiny binder. And instead, it's with a little clip that you get down.
Yeah, one of those expensive ones. Yeah, we need the good one from Kinko's,
they're
right?
All color-coded money over there.
Not a good sign. That was a prop.
Oh, my God.
Really?
This is what it's come to.
Really?
The president is being, at least they're looking at the big picture, and being attacked over a paperclip.
Yeah.
He got that from the New York Post. You see that? Look at that, everybody.
Can you imagine what the attacks would be like if they could actually read? There's got to be, I mean, you got to be sympathetic to them. Because essentially, if they got that jobs bill in their hands, essentially the big clip would be the thing that they would bang their knuckles on like a bonobo with a mental disorder.
And you're assuming Greg Gutfeld can read.
That's what I mean, It's like the old thing, I got busted for smuggling books into Fox News, but I got off on a technicality because nobody could prove they were books.
Hi, with a fly. Mm-hmm. See, they joined the New York Post in attacking President Obama for a paperclip.
Yep.
The paperclip. Now this is, it's come to this. His choice of paper fasteners has been, and we were, I think as someone was pointing out in the story, the question here is, what would these right-wing outlets prefer? That Obama use a more costly way to hold together a sheet of paper?
Yeah.
Which I'm sure would have been the story as well. The American taxpayers paid to have that copy of this jobs bill bound. Could you just shut up and get us some jobs for God's sakes? What? Seriously?
Well, you can't have a president who uses a paperclip. We need a guy from Texas with a crap job record. And
we need a guy that will lasso it together.
Who will execute innocent people, minorities in droves, and the mentally challenged.
We need someone
more
that will
juveniles.
Deliver it magically on a haystack.
Yeah.
On a freshly haystack. Here you are.
Right.
Here's the jobs bill.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You just burn it like a Viking funeral pyre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Steve Deuce. Ducey.
No.
On the
President was busy yesterday. He had a Rose Garden ceremony where he unveiled his jobs plan. Good idea this time, though, he wasn't surrounded. Remember when he unveiled the healthcare thing and he had all those guys in white lab coats? Didn't do that this time. Well, although they did have some Americans out there.
Well, let me tell you something.
The corporate jet thing's going to raise $3 billion.
That's it.
That's 1/100th of what the kind of money they need. So even though the President of the United States last Thursday said, you know, there's not going to be any class warfare, once again, it is class warfare. It's one of those soak the rich things.
Mm.
Soak
the
rich.
Eliminate a tax break for private jet owners.
That's a soaking the rich thing.
That would soak the rich. To the tune of $3 billion. Okay, $1 billion, if you'll recall, is exactly how much was needed for the tornado cleanup, for example.
Yeah.
And if they're talking about not accruing any more debt to take care of disaster relief, then one of the ways that you can actually do it is to eliminate that tax break so that those revenues aren't handed out to those guys, but put to people who, and restoring businesses, getting areas back up and functioning again.
Yes.
So
yes.
Just more.
Deirdre in Annapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Deirdre.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So listen, listening to Rush Limbaugh, what a wonderful person he is.
Mm. Yes.
Jeremiah Wright, who actually is a retired Marine and served in the country, which Rush Limbaugh and Mitt Romney never did. And not only that, Mitt Romney actually belonged to a church that didn't allow blacks until very recently.
Yeah,
members.
I know. And nobody ever brings that up. Yeah.
The
Mormon church has believed in whether it's polygamy or whatever. I get they don't need more, but I know they don't bring up any of that.
Yeah, well, that's it. They don't have to ultimately, because quite frankly, there's that's the issue, that's the non-electability issue for Mitt Romney, not amongst, by the way, progressives and liberals, where if we found that his policies were actually worthwhile, we'd be okay with him for his religious background. It's the evangelical, like Christian teabagger moral majority crowd that would never vote for Mitt. They're not going to vote for him. They're not going to vote for John Huntsman. They're not going to vote for a Mormon.
Yeah.
You're never going to vote for a Mormon.
Barbara in Chicago on that Rush Limbaugh soundbite. Hi, Barbara.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
So every time Rush Limbaugh uses that term man-child, he's really saying boy.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
All the Limbaughists know what he's saying, and everyone should call him on this racist
verbiage. Yeah, at least, you know, at least be a man like Pat Buchanan. Just come out and say boy so that Al Sharpton's head can explode.
Well, I mean, Pat
Buchanan. He's your boy. Whoa, what? Yeah, I said he went back to his original hairstyle. His hair just suddenly magically.
Here's the amazing point about Pat Buchanan, though, is that he's still allowed on cable and broadcast television.
Yeah.
After writing a paper that World War II, like, that Hitler didn't want to invade Poland, Europe made him.
Exactly.
What?
What? All right, Eric
Poor
Bowling.
Hitler. He's like Anakin Skywalker. It's not his fault he grew up to be Darth Vader. It's just those sand people treated him so poorly.
Eric Bowling on the Fox Business.
They're spending $62 billion keeping people on the unemployment line for yet another year. I call the government making sure that because you're not working, you somehow spend, by the way, you're spending hard-earned taxpayers' money that they've earned, given to the government, and you turn around and give it to someone who's not working. That's a socialist proposition.
Yeah, you stupid. It's your fault you don't have a job.
Yeah, you know, you pay into unemployment insurance while you're working. Then because we're in a
lot of people are out of work
program,
right now.
Yeah, that's why you pay into it. It's part of your and he's paying into it right now as he's saying that.
Yes.
And if he loses his job, which he won't do because he's ventriloquist, very seldom Chuck puppets.
46 minutes after the hour, we continue with the Scotchmore Right Wing World on Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I don't like it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Deborah in Buffalo. Hal, it's for you.
Hello.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Deb.
I got two quick things. I need to talk to you and Hal. Okay. First of all, I live in Cheektowaga.
Cheektowaga? Yes. Up the transit from Lockport.
Yes, exactly. If you're going to, when you went on vacation, I heard more Obama bashing on your station, and I couldn't believe what I was listening to.
Hal and I try not to leave John Dougal's thing unsupervised.
Yes.
He's back now. And
Hal was here on Wednesday of last week with John.
And, and if anybody remembers, in the final block of that hour, I kind of let him have it a little bit.
No mama supervision. Okay.
I grabbed a glass of wine and enjoyed the show. Hal, listen, you don't know how much I missed you.
You are my
saving grace. Wednesday is the only time I get to listen to the man who understands Obama.
That's right.
Obama is not a liberal. He never has been. Mm. He is a centrist president. Mm. I don't know why the people on the left don't get it.
He's also a pragmatic progressive.
Absolutely.
He genuinely looks, he's completely in line with most liberal goals.
Yes.
It's just the how to get it done argument. And you can say that the purity of the Kucinich sort of platform, it has beauty to it and is certainly important for refining your message. But ultimately, what has it accomplished heretofore?
Right.
Nothing. Right. Next to nothing. That's the harsh part. And Ron Paul is on the other side in the same situation.
Right.
He's very popular amongst his base. And in the hard right-wing world, the Tea Party, that actually started, that name started around the Ron Paul supporters.
Exactly.
But ultimately, his highly refined extremist message, even though it's kind of creeping in.
Yes. Trust me. When I called him unelectable on CNN, I heard from a few of his fans, big fans of the
C-word. It's true. It's not that he, and by the way, when you say unelectable, it's not even that somebody doesn't deserve to be elected. That's a totally different conversation.
Absolutely.
I happen to agree with that sentiment, but that's not what you're saying in this. And the same situation happens with Kucinich that happens with Ron Paul. There's sort of a love relationship with them, but a total dismissal of the actual policy activity. And,
right.
Barack Obama has actually had more progressive policies enacted in the last 2 years than in the last 40.
Right. Point is, the Stephanie Miller Show is a magical circle of both happy clappies and naysayers, and we love all of them.
But I have tickets, I want to say. I have tickets for the show. I'm coming.
Yay. For Buffalo, yay! What is it, November something? November, let me check it out here. November 19th, come see Mama in her hometown, Buffalo, New York. We're very excited. Tickets going fast there, I'm told.
Mm.
I was going to say, I love John Fugelsang more than life itself, but as someone wrote me and I forgot to ask him, that he said that Randy Rhoads lacks critical thinking. I'm like, oh no, he didn't. I have to ask him if he said that, because not my girl. No, you don't. I don't know if he said that. You know how you get mail. I don't know.
Yeah, some people think they hear things.
I've
been accused of things before.
Absolutely, we all have.
I was actually saying the exact opposite.
Right.
I was making the point you agree with.
Like when you just said Hitler was cuddly in the last
segment? Yeah, exactly. And I was saying, and that's not, you know, I was allowing for the inference.
I've already got those letters.
But, yeah, right.
You said he had good critical thinking.
Right.
And he's cuddly.
And that he and Randy Rhodes have a lot in common.
But if that's, only he had Randy Rhodes' critical thinking.
Only, yeah. If, yeah. Yeah. If he'd have just...
He wouldn't have been as cuddly.
Right. If he hadn't been flammable, the world would be a lot better off.
What?
But Stephanie, yes. You look better in front of the Arc de Triomphe than Hitler did.
Oh, I got those letters. There's a picture of Lisa and I, my girlfriend, in front of the Arc de Triomphe, and they said, and that's what every girl wants to hear. I look better than Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Well, and how you got there was a nicer
really
road,
nice.
Too.
Yes, I bicycled
you came
there.
As a, yeah, right. You
with delightful food and wine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You could not be more French if you were dressed like Where's Waldo?
And France didn't surrender right away when you crossed the border. So, you know, there's that.
Yes, they did.
Oh, yes,
I stand corrected.
Oh, in fact, can I just say, okay, where's my French music? This was a... forgot. The French people could not be more delightful, can I just say.
I agree.
And let me just say, sluttiness is the international language because we got lost at one point.
Mm-hmm. And so you showed
some
leg?
Three of us on the bike trip. Well, it was a guy who came up on a motorcycle, and I did. No, I did just the international blinky helpless female. Excuse me, sir. Where is this?
Mm-hmm.
And he actually gave us a motorcycle escort
for
several miles in the right direction, and the other people on the truck were like, what did you do to him? What did you promise? I was like, nothing.
I went on a high school
trip. I just smiled in a nice, slutty American way.
I went
it's
on
like, a... you're like the president. We just got a motorcycle escort out
right.
of
here. Right. Just, let's just get them out of here. I went on a high school trip to France when I was 14 years old, and Brian Spizak and I got lost walking
Brian
around.
Spizak.
Because they let us scatter.
He was a doofus. Some chaperones
you had.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. Is they, like, you've got 2 hours of free time. See you in a little while.
14-year-old?
Like, yeah, I know. What is there, no serial
what
killers
trouble
in
could
Europe?
Possibly ensue?
Nothing. We just went to adult bookstores because the age
No, you missed the bit at Monday. I didn't realize because there was only five of us in the group. We didn't have a guide actually on the road.
Yeah.
He was in the van, so they actually gave you these directions that you put on your bike while you're drunk from wine at lunch.
Sure, that makes
and
a lot of sense.
And they literally, there was no street names. It was just turn left at the
farm. I was lost, and I could not find the metro station next to our hotel. As long as I could get us to the metro station, I could get us to the hotel. So I was like, who speaks English around here? Because my French was failing at that point. And I realized that we were near the red light district.
Oh.
And it was all hookers up down in this one street. And
that must have been awful for you.
It was amazing. And so Brian Spizak and I
like
walk up to this it was like a cartoon because they were just kind of in lingerie dangling on the stoop. And I went up and I went, "Does you know how to get to the metro and
station
here?"
Me and Brian Spizak need to
know. The largest woman in the smallest negligee said in a solid Cockney accent, "Oh yeah, you just go down and get in this, take this train down." And she was living in France, pretending to be French.
Aww.
Awesome,
making a living.
Awesome hooker story. Yeah. One of your best ever. One of your best ever. Okay.
I don't know. I got a few decent ones, I think. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, my directions. First of all, I don't know kilometers, so it would be in 2 kilometers. Turn left at the farm, and I was in French farm country. So right away, that was not that helpful, or turn right at the concrete pole near the crucifix.
I can't go to French farm country. I've seen high tension. It's a French movie.
All right. We've chatted, so we have a Scotchmore right-wing world. We have comedian Carlos Alzraki.
Yay.
Representative Paul Tonko. Much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, I'm just like the meat in the slab of sexy liberal sandwich. Jim Ward is here. And House Sparks
very
is back.
Comfortable.
from Scotland for our very first Hump Days with Hal.
Where, in fact, you can get veggie haggis.
Yes, you can.
Really?
Veggie haggis.
It's a vegetarian version of sheep intestines or whatever?
Yes.
Whatever. Do they have a vegetarian version of freshly gummed raw meat?
No, they don't, unfortunately. But they're working on it diligently.
It's our favorite story.
Yeah. It's going to be at their all-new supersized White Castle that they're opening in Edinburgh.
You get veg E. coli.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Jim. Kevin in Palm Springs with a sexy liberal question. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Hey, we've been praying to Jehovah God down here because it's rained for 3 days in Palm Springs.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. And how does Pat Buchanan keep his job? Remember this guy, John Demjanjuk? He supported him, and he just went to jail on a stretcher for war crimes in World War II, remember?
Oh, dear.
Here's the concentration camp guard.
He's the only guy supporting this guy.
Yeah.
Hey, my final question is, are your people talking to the HBO people so you can have a special of the Sexy Liberal show on HBO?
Oh, what a good idea. I've heard all sorts of Sexy Liberal things. Who knows?
Really?
I don't. There's discussions going on all the time that I have no idea about anything. However, I do know that House Fox is back.
Ta-da!
And Sexy Liberal coming to Asheville, North Carolina next Saturday. The following weekend to Seattle. Saturday sold out. Still some Friday tickets. Los Angeles. Stop trying, for God's sakes, for the Saturday show. It's over!
Yeah.
Standing room tickets people are buying. Okay, Friday is almost sold out. Get it. Go.
Yeah.
Los Angeles. Stephanie Miller told you she wanted to love you in the most inappropriate ways. You showed your love right back. And now, after selling out the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in just 5 days, here she goes again.
Subtle plans are here again.
On October 21st at the Wadsworth Theater, welcome the second coming of John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks' second childhood, and Stephanie Miller, who lost her Los Angeles virginity at last.
On second thought, I realize that I'm very much interested in politics.
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. So drop that box of wine and get yourself up early to score your final chance to be a part of this liberal left coast love fest.
I will not make this offer again.
Los Angeles, come get your heaping helping of sexy liberal seconds. They're guaranteed not to be sloppy.
Oh, heavens, I don't know what that means. And then San Francisco, October 28th and 29th. Stop trying to buy tickets for Saturday. They're done. They're gone.
Yeah.
28th, October 28th.
Piggyback tickets, the only thing left for Saturday.
All right.
Which, you know.
Yeah. All right.
Not against.
All right. And now, a story about a dog. Okay, you know, I just like to do that because it's a story about a dog. A dog eats 100 rocks, may get a prize. A Rhode Island dog in the running for insurance prize after eating 100 rocks. A pug, Harley. Goodbye! The x-ray showed the dog had eaten 100 small stones. The rocks came out without surgery. You know.
In the usual way.
Yeah. The vet just goes, they'll pass.
In the usual
way. Yeah. The insurance company has nominated Harley for its Hambone Award, which is given to the most unusual pet health insurance claim of the year. Harley's competition included a Chihuahua from Illinois who survived being picked up by a great horned owl.
Ooh.
But he's okay. Yes. He's okay. Grab up. Yeah, that's, I hate when that happens. I don't know what kind of bird could pick up Max or Fred, but that'd be like a pterodactyl.
At that point, civilization has fallen.
Yeah.
There's no, you know.
Yeah. You can pick up, you know, 150-pound dog. Good luck to you.
Yeah,
If
they can't hear the wing noise from an animal that size, they're really not worth saving.
Then it's your bit that you've been sexy liberal, then the dinosaurs have returned.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I think, you know, how much nicer we would all be if pterodactyls were flying around randomly.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
If your dog could be picked up by a pterodactyl.
Absolutely.
Despite the fact you have
to. Imagine how much money dog walkers would make? Because they'd be armed to the teeth. They'd look like Mad Max.
That's your bit. I don't care what color your skin is.
Yeah, just
I'm almost
get
picked
ball.
Up by a pterodactyl.
Right.
Get them all. All right. I don't know. This is my favorite dumb crook stack lately. Before we get to the politics of the day.
Mm-hmm.
A person dressed as Gumby walked into a Southern California convenience store claiming to have a gun and demanded money. But the costume trouble and a skeptical clerk thwarted the would-be robber.
Mm.
Gumby demanded money, but the store clerk thought it was a joke and ignored the life-size claymation character, telling him he was cleaning up. He didn't have time to waste. You don't think this is a robbery? I have a gun, the costume man said, fumbling inside his costume, trying to retrieve a weapon. But the green gloves seemed to get in the way, and rather than pull a gun, he dropped 26 cents on the floor. The video shows the second man who came in with the Gumby suspect but was not dressed as Pokey. So that was your problem. That's your problem.
Right. Pokey armed to the teeth.
If you don't have your Pokey pal, too, then that's how serious a threat is it?
Mm-hmm.
Guy, why, he couldn't even bother to get a Pokey costume?
Well, he'd have to be armed to the teeth because he doesn't have any hands.
Yeah, right. Ta-da, 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 ta-da.
And here's in the final insult. They reported the clerk told his boss he didn't know who Gumby was and described the character in the store as a green SpongeBob SquarePants.
He was once a little green ball of clay.
Yes.
Oh, the final insult. I am not a green SpongeBob.
So does this mean Gumby is going to the Pokey?
See now. We only have three microphones in here, so that's why Chris, you know, when your hair can't be. But he actually got up and walked across the room to get a microphone in order to
do that pokey joke.
Yeah, say that, because he thought it was just that kind of gold.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Wow.
For that.
Really? I thought it was lovely.
I
back you 100%.
It was a nice effort. Let's give him a T-ball trophy. That was awesome.
Bite me.
Okay.
Now.
Let's finish up right-wing world, shall we? Jim Engel on Fox News on Rick Perry.
Governor Perry was assailed by his Republican competitors last night on the issue of Social Security because he had criticized the program in the very first debate. Now, Governor Perry had called the system, as you remember, a Ponzi scheme, which means the first people in get paid by newer arrivals, which is roughly true of Social Security.
What? It's the same as purchasing a bond, essentially. The money gets put in there, gets invested in that, and then tax revenue gets paid.
Ponzi scheme is designed to defraud people.
Social Security, regardless of what you think of it, was designed to help people, and it seems to work. That's not good news for me. Governor Perry. 72% disagree with Perry that Social Security is a monstrous lie. New CNN poll shows 72% of Americans think his characterization of Social Security is a monstrous lie. Not accurate, the view even held by 69% of Republicans, 67% of conservatives, 59% of Tea Party supporters.
Mm. Mm. And he's going to be their man.
I guess so. That's looking that way.
Yeah.
All right, let's finish with Peter Johnson.
Really? His middle name Richard?
Okay.
The way that these folks were introduced on that network.
Herman Cain, the businessman. Newt Gingrich, the big thinker.
Well, he's probably one of the smartest people in the United States.
He's a big thinker.
Yes, he certainly is, frankly.
Big thoughts.
I'm looking
one
of the
thoughts.
Smartest.
Big thoughts like, hey, what woman can I next buy my wife's back?
Yeah, and what economic concepts or policies has he ever pushed for that were actually beneficial?
He shut down the government.
See, there's,
Okay, that concludes Right Wing World. Patrice in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Patrice.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Mooks.
Hi.
I wanted to call about that election in New York. I had just heard on CNN that, of course, the media is trying to spin this as
huge upsets, rebuke to the president.
Right.
Yes.
Because of, and then I heard that one of the Democratic mayors had supported Republican candidate who took Wiener seat because of Israel, and he said that he was sending a message to Obama about Israel, which, you know, is really silly to me because Obama is pro-Israel and he has been helpful to Israel. But the other thing is the other thing is that, you know, I really wish that they had not have pounded on Wiener the way that they did. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the Democrats. He should have kept his seat. He was good at what he did, regardless of the whole fiasco that went down with him and this other woman.
Well, and I think, Patrice, and the main story we were saying is he was going to be redistricted out anyway, so this is not some huge upset. This was expected, you know, the Democrats were expected to lose this seat anyway.
If they spent their money trying to win that seat and they, you know, and that's money they don't have to spend elsewhere on a district that's actually going to be around.
The important thing is that she said the point she makes, wiener. We should not pound our own wieners. That reminds me of the Bob Keckles weight line you did earlier. His pickup line.
I can't say because it has a swear word in it.
Yeah. Hi, ladies. Have you seen the keys to my BMW around here? Anyway, oh, let's cut the crap. You want to go with me?
How actually you very much. As a pickup line in high school, and it worked.
Yeah, that's, I used to pick up girls in high school by going,
hi, ladies. I'm drinking the Kia Royale. I like, what are you doing? You're not driving young guys wild.
By the way, speaking of work,
and I would do him in high school. I would have, because it's a perfect Bobcat Goldthwait.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty solid.
That's why Jim Ward gets so much, you know.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I can't do.
That's why we can't take him on the Sexy Liberal tour with us, because like he'd never show up. For
oh,
sure.
The girls love the voices. Jim, do that again.
Pete, now do it.
Okay, now do me while you're
now
doing
it's him.
It. Do Kim Jong Il.
Speaking of voices,
me, while Jack Nicholson says
and words that you can't say. Do you hear that? Clint Eastwood, basically. Came out for gay marriage in a sort of a libertarian sense. They asked him in an interview in GQ. He said that Republicans were making a big mistake by opposing same-sex marriage. He went, these people are making a big deal out of gay marriage. Eastwood opined, I don't give a blank about who wants to get married to anybody else. Why not? They're making a big deal out of things they shouldn't be making a big deal out of. They go on with all this bull about sanctity. Don't give me that sanctity crap. Just give everybody the chance to live the life they want. What a great way of putting it.
Awesome. And so, I like the face. That was a great
I know what you're
face.
Thinking.
Right.
Did I date six
guys,
or
four,
only
five?
Poppers or five?
Right.
Can't tell if that's sexy or constipated. Either way, it's a...
I don't know.
Cute
you feel lucky,
growly when you do
punk?
It. All right. 18 minutes after
lucky?
The hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Punky.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
The hour.
It's not even Friday.
I miss the musical stylings of Hal Sparks so much.
I don't know who decided that singing like that was actually. So there had to be a first guy.
First guy.
Who just went, I'm going to sing like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to sing like that. It works great.
Instead of rightfully people going, that's annoying.
Yeah,
so went, oh, that's cool.
Check it
that's
down.
Cool.
What are you doing, Dave?
There'd been some level-headed guy that just said, "What the hell are you doing, Dave?"
Yeah, right. There wouldn't.
We put him in spare.
There would have been no Bowser and Sha-na-na because somebody would have gone, "Dave,
Dave,
what was that? We were all singing,
and then
you just start making like a baritone saxophone."
John in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, John.
Well, thank you. I was thinking about the wiener seat.
Well,
all the progressive,
you and Marcus Bachman both. Oh, come on, honey.
I'm
I don't know.
Super.
What I'm doing. Oh, thanks
cracking.
For asking.
All the professional left that keep saying the president should get tougher, but all the tough Democrats lost their seat, like Alan Grayson, Feingold in Wisconsin, and in Michigan here, Virge Vanell was real tough and he lost, but all the calm, cool Democrats like Chris Coon and Terry Reid and New York 23 and the two Wisconsin seats, they all won.
Hmm. That's an interesting thought. It's an interesting point.
Yeah,
it's true. I have to say we lost some great progressives in this
Well,
last,
believe me, this is an argument I have with David Bender all the time because David would really love the president.
He's listening and he will call. He will be on that back line like a cat on
David,
a feather toy.
I sympathize with him about this, but I just think it's bad. There's something in David that really wants the president in the middle of a press conference when he gets asked a dumb question by one of the people from Fox to just kind of one hand the podium out of the way and just dive straight at the person and start going, shut up! I have told you 10 times and you know what you just said is a lie. But it's not, it never works. And yet...
I don't know that that's David Bender's fantasy.
I think I do.
Bender,
I've seen him
call
watch,
the bat phone. Bender.
I've seen David Bender watch baseball. I know that's exactly what he wishes would happen. But baseball is a pastoral sport, and I've seen him screaming at the screen. It's amazing to watch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Baseball?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's impressive. But the point I'm trying to make is that the caller was right. There's a, you know, long game has to count for something. Now we're in a campaign season now, so the president will get, quite frankly, a little more leeway in the press to be. They'll write
right,
it off as campaign speech.
Mode. Campaign mode.
So
yeah.
If he was doing it, you know, in the middle of, you know, in January, they'd have said angry black man. But now there's that's what they pushed all the time.
Right. Exactly. A little bit of breaking scandal news. The Herman Cain of Pizza Man, crazy pizza guy.
Uh-huh.
Accused of engaging in a cover-up over gay strategist. They reportedly fired a gay guy, and then tried to cover up. Is this basically the story, Chris, that I'm told?
Yep.
They... Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kane,
you just want to play this, don't you? All right.
Oh, God.
I must tell Jesus.
That's employment discrimination. And it's illegal. Okay.
All of my trials.
Hi, y'all. Did you see his 9/11 video?
By the way...
Oh, no.
Herman Cain did a 9/11
did he
video.
Sing?
Yeah. I love that he wants to be president because America's too uptight.
Yeah,
we need a sense of humor.
Yeah,
we're too uptight.
Kick back a little bit. Never mind the fact that flat out Barack Obama, funniest president.
Yeah, he is.
Ever.
He is. Yeah.
His White House press dinner.
JFK.
Funniest living president.
All right. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, in other gay-bashing news, wow, she's one of my personal favorites. Representative Sally Kern, please and thank you, Republican of Oklahoma. She's the one that said homosexuality more dangerous than terrorist attacks.
Oh, right.
Yeah, she now has
to double
down.
Because we got to deal with it every day.
Yes, because there's gayness around every day.
Right. And, you know, and terrorism, it's like a season, doesn't it? It happens, is it March? I forget when terrorism happens.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? Terrorists just... They've been nice enough to, you know, because they don't want to bother TSA or the FBI.
Right.
So
not
they've
after
all,
Labor Day.
Yeah, they'll send a memo and they'll go, here's terrorist season.
Right.
And that way you could board up your windows like a hurricane.
She tried to make the point that more people died of AIDS than terrorism and because people are being gay every day. And she said, you know, every day our young people, they're bombarded with homosexuality is normal and natural. It's something they have to deal with every day. Fortunately, we don't have to deal with a terrorist attack every day. That's what I mean. It's more dangerous. And, yes, I think it's also more dangerous because you tear down the moral fiber.
Whatever.
Is that Betty Bowers, America's Best
Christian? I know. I often think she's not real. But apparently she is. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Henry Cuellar of Texas next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
How this cheap Kmart hair extension got into the back seat of your car.
I don't know where that came from. That looks like one of your little stringy something or another you got up in your hair.
I do not wear polyester hair, okay? Unlike some people I know, like...
Stephanie Miller.
Wasn't me. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, see, David Bender called to say, I am David Bender and I am the president. That's what he wants Obama to say.
Right, exactly.
I'm Barack Obama and I am president.
Right. trust me.
All right. Now, kids, we've been talking about the president's job speech and the president taking it to the streets, taking it to the people.
Taking it to the streets.
I was so hoping you wouldn't really do that.
Okay.
Representative Henry Cuellar is a very distinguished representative from Texas. He joins us now.
Sorry.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you?
I have a chorus here this morning. I'm sorry. All right.
Sorry.
Congressman, we've been talking about to me, this was one of those things where some people go, oh, the president gives a good speech. Well, this wasn't just a good speech. It's a really good plan, don't you think? The jobs bill?
Yes, I think it's a very good plan because it does include a lot of the things that we Democrats have supported. It's got some of the things that the Republicans in the past have supported. And I think if we want to talk about especially helping the small businesses, this is the way that we can do it. And I think this has something for everybody.
Well, how is he going to approach this? Because I know that, you know, somebody in the administration said this isn't a, you know, a la carte menu, you know, that this is a total plan, because this is what always happens, right? The Republicans make sounds like they're going to compromise, and then they just want the things that they want, and they're not going to pass the things that, that we want.
Right, exactly. And that apparently is what, you know, what the Republican leadership has said. The Republican leadership has said that what they want to do is just look at some things, cherry pick some of the things, and then just go ahead and vote, on it. I wish they would look at a more broader, aspect of this. But again, the reality would be is if the Republican leadership in the House, which they control the votes, if they decide to just go with, just certain things, then, you know, unless there's a way that we can get them to do that, and the voters, you know, like the president said, go out there and pass this bill, we might have to go with parts of it. But I think that, you know, there's a lot of things that a lot of us in the bipartisan way can't support.
It was David Axelrod that said this.
We're not in a negotiation to break up the package, and it's not an a la carte menu. It is a strategy to get this country moving.
Well, I mean, isn't that true that, you know, you take out certain parts and it can defeat the whole purpose? I mean, you know what I mean? You take out the stimulus spending and it's not going to accomplish creating jobs, right?
You know, if you want to have infrastructure for the highways and for the bridges, you know, if you want to call that stimulus, I mean, that's something that we need. And actually, that's something that will help tremendously. When you look at, you know, rebuilding some of the old schools that have been there for 30, 40 years that need a lot of assistance, I mean, that's another way we can create jobs. But if they're just talking about just, you know, cutting taxes and, talking about just cutting debt and really, you know, tax credits and things like that. I mean, yes, I mean, I can support that, but I think the broader picture is what we ought to be looking at.
This I thought was ironic. This is Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader on the jobs bill.
All he's doing is just proposing a hodgepodge of retread ideas aimed at convincing people that a temporary fix is really permanent and that it will create permanent jobs, and then daring Republicans to vote against it.
Yeah, well, economists have said it'll create almost 2 million jobs, correct? And one of the hodgepodge ideas is to fix the bridges in places like Kentucky, where one of them has just been shut down because it is, needs repair. I mean, if you can't get the Republican leader to vote for something in his own district that is clearly an infrastructure project, where do we go from here?
Exactly. And you know, when he keeps saying that it's a hodgepodge of ideas, you know, keep a lot of these ideas are ideas that Republicans have pushed. For example, when you talk about tax cuts for small businesses so they can hire and grow, I mean, you know, a lot of these ideas, the expensing and all that, those were ideas that Republicans were pushing in the past. So, you know, again, it's got what I call Democrat ideas, Republican ideas, but at the end, you have a jobs bill that is for the American people. And again, as I've said in the past, Congress needs to get to work so we can get America back to work.
Well, you know, and obviously poll after poll showing that that's what Americans care about most. You know, there's something that we've been talking about. If Republicans think they can win on the issues and they're right on the issues, you know, why do they have to keep using dirty tricks? And there was something you just talked about, I think it was last week, in your district, them redrawing these voting districts. This is a big deal, isn't it, in this next election?
Well, certainly.
Go
yeah,
ahead.
You're right. And certainly you're right. I mean, redistricting is something that that affects all Democrats and Republicans. And, you know, one of the things I've seen, and remember, I've been a state rep in the state of Texas, I've seen three redistrictings. One is a state representative where I actually was involved in drawing lines. Second was when I was a secretary of state, which means a chief election officer for the state of Texas. And now as a member of Congress watching these lines. And one of the things that happens, and they cannot deny this, is that as they're drawing, and this is happening in Texas, and I think this has happened in other parts of the southern part of the United States, is that, you know, the Republicans are drawing Democrats to make them either
African-American districts or Hispanic districts. They're literally going after the white Anglo-Democrat lawmakers out there. And it's an interesting process in Texas.
Well, where Hispanics account for two-thirds of Texas population growth over the last decade, right? So they're one by one. They're you know, basically trying to deprive Hispanics of equal voting rights there.
The growth in the state of Texas in the last 10 years were 4.3 million. Two-thirds of that were Hispanics. When you add African-Americans, Hispanics, and other minorities, 90% of the growth that we had out of the 4.3 were Hispanic or other minorities. But and we got four new congressional seats, but when they drew when they drew those new congressional seats, the 10% non-minority got all four new congressional districts. Do you think it's fair? I don't think it's fair. That's why I testified in federal court as one of the interveners this past Monday.
Well, you know, obviously the big storyline today is, there's this huge upstate in New York and Anthony Weiner's old seat. And, of course, that was redistricted, and Democrats were going to lose that one anyway. So, you know, again, here we go with the media storyline that this is a huge rebuke to the president and it's a huge upset. And it really was not, was it?
No, I mean, I think there's a lot of factors. I mean, yes, the president did have does have low approval ratings, but you got to look at, you know, how this seat was left open, was vacated. You got to look at other factors also, and some of the stumbles that the particular individual did, and again, there were different factors involved. But you know, in talking to my colleagues from New York, this is one seat that's going to be more likely than not eliminated in redistricting. So it's a victory, but it's going to be a short victory, a short-term victory for the Republicans.
Yep, let's hope so. All right, Representative Henry Cuellar, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. He's a nice guy. It's
interesting. I'd love to get his opinion at some point on the viability of the infrastructure bank, because I think that's one of the most valuable parts of what the president's trying to push through. And that's one of the areas where I think Chuck Hagel was even one of the people who started the idea of an infrastructure bank. It's always been a...
Yes, and now it's French and gay. It's
right,
no longer
exactly.
Republican. Mike in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mama.
Hey.
How you doing today?
Good, baby. Go ahead.
Hey, I was calling to let you know that I was deployed 2 years ago. I went to Kuwait for the United States Army. Then I went back as a Department of Defense contractor, and now I'm back here in the States. I've been back for a couple months, and this really is not looking like the America I left to protect. It's scaring me with all this hatred and just anger coming from these teabaggers, these tea partiers, and I don't know, Mama.
Well,
it scares me.
Mike, all you got to do is watch that Republican debate and you know them cheering for death basically, and go, who are these people?
Yes, the party of life, unless that life, you know, goes against their morals, then, let's kill them.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, by the way, did you see Rick Perry went on, he actually went on MSNBC. Why, looky there.
Is that legal?
He said he was taken aback by the audience reaction to, I don't know if you saw this moment.
Yeah, sure he was.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. Wolf Blitzer asked about this hypothetical 30-year-old without health insurance. Should we just be left to die? Some members of the crowd shouted yes and let him die. Doggy. So Rick Perry said, he was taken aback by the reaction. However, he pivoted to defend the last time. Remember the week before the debate where people cheered how many people he executed in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction was disturbing. They just
I killed a lot of fellers.
Yeah, ignore the huge story that one of them clearly was innocent, and it just woo,
Well, also one of the guys who they interviewed on the street said it takes a lot of guts to kill an innocent man.
We did, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of guts to, because, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs, that kind of concept, I suppose.
You hang them high, Jesus will sort them out, whatever, that whole thing.
Whatever.
Yes. Okay, that's Texas justice. That's how you treat, what's his name, the Fed chairman, pretty ugly? Pretty ugly.
Or treat him ugly. That's what we do.
Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, we will get to Al Sparks take on the Republican field, because we haven't talked to you in a month.
I know.
As we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
See, if you're going to be a singer, probably shouldn't gargle with a lie. It's
there's a pre-tip point.
Yeah,
I don't know. It works Jim for Boyd. Enough's Enough and Lemmy.
Lemmy.
And let me tell you, Jim Ward has a lovely voice.
Well,
we just had a little guitar sing along at my house a few weeks ago, and Jim Ward. Yeah.
Well, that's why we have him on screen right now, his voice deity, Jim Ward.
Yes. All right, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You know, it's one of my favorite times of the show, Hal, when I can say hi to Art in Chicago. Hi, Art.
Hello, how are you?
Hey. I'm great. How are you?
Fine, thank you. You know, Obama's bill for jobs.
Uh-huh.
All he's doing is helping the Chinese and the Japanese.
How
because
so?
Because, you see, to build bridges, we need steel, concrete, and other metals. We're not producing that. I live here in Chicago. We had Calumet Steel. We had United States Steel. We had Reynolds Steel. We had Wisconsin Steel. They're gone.
Uh-huh.
You know why they're gone? They can't get coal to fire up their furnaces. They need coke to make steel. And guess where our steel's coming from? China. Japan.
So we should just let our bridges fall because we have to get steel from China.
Well, what I'm saying is you're putting the Chinese to work. Why doesn't he open up the steel mills?
We're putting Americans to work as well.
Steel
mills are private industry.
What about the steel mills, madam?
Steel mills are private industry.
How about, what's that?
Steel mills are private industries. If it was profitable and possible, they would be open, would they not?
How can be profitable if they can't get the coal to burn get their steel mills?
Where's the shortage of coal that the steel mills...
He just closed it on his very first speech. He said, "Anybody open coal mine, they're going to be sorry."
President Obama didn't close any.
Actually, coal output is up.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I just know that it also. I understand what you're saying. I just don't understand what you mean.
My favorite part of that call is he called me madam. Okay.
Good. I'm glad it was you and not me. I couldn't tell.
I understand, by cracky.
You're putting the Chinese to work because they're making...
So
steel is actually a resource and you run out of it at a certain point.
Right.
There's not any more to be mined from a certain area. Ask Pittsburgh.
Mm. Okay. All right. Brian in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. It's always puzzling somewhat, as Art's calls are.
Don't you know that there's never-ending veins of steel?
Good morning, folks. I just have a quick comment. The elections in November and the recent elections that Democrats have seemed to lose, I don't want people to get it misunderstood. Some of this is not a referendum on the president. Some of it is the fact that, and I'm an African-American, but it's we don't come out to vote in these small special elections. African Americans and Latinos, and they're the ones that are directly affected by some of these laws.
Right.
It's been happening for years. I'm talking about judges getting in who hold those seats forever and us not voting. I mean, the Democrats are not putting enough time into making sure that people get out and vote, get these IDs corrected, everything that we possibly need to fight these battles. But it's not going to happen if we can't continue to do what we're doing on this path of not voting.
You're
absolutely right.
We just had Henry Cuellar on in Texas.
Fired in Wisconsin for telling people that you don't need to pay for a free ID for the new voter law.
Yeah.
He was because it would be a denial of a voting right, so you get a free ID, but they didn't want anybody to know that. They want you to think it costs you money, so if you don't have any, you can't vote. What he was also saying was very true, which is less about the Democratic strategy and more about the Republican strategy. One of the Republican strategies for a very long time has been to squeak in their most extreme people in off-season elections, in non-general elections. That's where your real kooky people get elected.
Yep. All right. Speaking of kooky, the president talking about infrastructure, Chinese infrastructure.
Yeah.
There are construction projects like these all across the country just waiting to get started, and there are millions of unemployed construction workers who are looking for a job. So my question to Congress is, what on earth are we waiting for?
Yeah.
And when is Chinese democracy going to come out?
It's already out.
Oh, I did. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike in Kentucky works in one of those coal mines that the president closed. Hi, yeah. Mike. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Mike. Oh, did I do the wrong one? I did. Okay, yeah. Hang on. Hi, Mike. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, I work in the coal industry. I got a load of coal on the truck right now.
Well,
no, you don't.
Yeah,
unless you're parked in China.
The AEP down in Ashland, yeah, where they burn coal.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But that other caller, he was kind of correct on it. Our industry is about flat bottom now. I'm barely surviving on what I make out here. This is my living. A lot of people out here. It's the regulations on coal, the lack of permits given out and stuff has just took a toll on our industry. So I don't even know what Southeast Kentucky's going to do if things got any worse. There's no other industry here but coal.
Well, but Mike, what do you make of when you have this massive mining disaster? I mean, how do you not have any regulations or any? I understand what you're saying. It's your living, but what was your take on what happened there?
Well, it's a dangerous field that, when you go into this job, you know what you're getting into before you do it. I mean, it's, you know, you get a choice to move out of the state, but, you know, I'm from Detroit. I moved down here.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Detroit for 34 years, and I'll never go back up there again. I mean,
the industry
up there is just...
Right. But, Mike, my point is that, you know, I'm just using Massey as an example. They have hundreds and hundreds of violations. I mean, what with the disaster that happened was not unforeseen.
Well, violation thing, you know, because we get checked by inspectors all the time. My truck gets inspected all the time. And if you pulled up the history of my truck, you know, which is a two-year-old truck and a one-year-old trailer on it, there's probably 15, 16 different violations already on this truck. But the violations are so minute, they just have to write it up. But so if you look at the history of the violations ain't really serious violations. You know, like putting black tape on something that required...
What was the name of the mine? The upper branch? That's not, those weren't minor violations that led to that.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. You know, I didn't say what caused whatever happened in, in Massey. You know, that I didn't say that part. But as far as, you know, when every coal mine has got violations, everyone, just like every industry in this country has got violations. I mean,
in Massey's case, it was pretty egregious, is my only point.
Yeah, but most of the stuff as far as the coal industry goes is because of environmental concerns.
Well,
I mean,
but there are environmental concerns.
I could take pictures of the coal plant down here in Ashland, and, you know, you'll show pictures of a coal burning plant and show the stacks, and you'll see all this white smoke coming out of there. That's not smoke, that's steam. There's one stack that comes out of
okay.
there that has that coal burning out
right.
of it. And
right.
you can barely see the smoke. They got everything in place to try to, you know, limit the amount of carbon that goes in the air and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just unfair.
One of the reasons why the coal industry has been hit so much.
Industry that
right.
provides, like that feller
is,
said.
Right,
but that's also natural
steel,
gas is
you know,
natural gas
steel.
Has affected the coal industry a tremendous amount. Wouldn't
well,
you agree?
In natural gas, there's all kinds of regulation on fracking.
I know that, but what I'm saying is increased natural gas production is one of the reasons why coal output has lowered, because demand lowered for coal as natural gas went up, and nuclear and other alternative fuels have hit that. There was a huge dip. I'm looking at the graph right here. That as far as output of coal, it's been steady for almost 3 years.
Yeah.
It took a huge dip. Because of the economic
because
crash.
There's clean right well and also there's cleaner
there's other sources.
Energy they're starting to
it'll
be developed
back,
yeah.
but it's going to be back to where it was by 2035 just at its natural growth rate.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Carlos Azraqui and more and Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. It's our very first Hump Days with Hal.
Oh, it's very
quite
exciting.
Some time. Ugh. We've been international globetrotting, both of us.
I know.
Mm. Okay, StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Everybody, the first one up. Hal Sparks back in the saddle again.
Mm-hmm.
Next Saturday, Asheville, North Carolina. Very, very exciting. And then... Mm-hmm. And then check it out. Go to sexyliberal.com. We got Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Get it. Hurry. Get those tickets. All right. And also, my vacation tickets are up on stephaniemiller.com, sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal Facebook, and Stephanie Miller Facebook.
Yummy.
Okay. Thank you for all your comments. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. And
I would like to see more pictures of you.
Please.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that. All right. In the meantime, speaking of sexy liberals, ladies and gentlemen, Carlos Alzraqui, our buddy, our pal comedian
right
extraordinaire.
Buenos dias, sexy Spanish liberals.
Yes.
I love you. You call us from Kentucky. It's like, I've been in Detroit, Michigan for 34 years. And I've been 2 years in Kentucky, and that accent was wiped out by the Kentucky accent.
Right.
Detroit, Michigan. What happened to that? It's nice to see people got the coal memo, Carl. Everybody called about coal this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Clean coal. It's
our
clean.
Clean
yeah.
coal. I think we need to put things in terms of a Rankin and Bass special for these Republican people. Like, I'm from the island of misfit infrastructure. over to China.
I want to be a dentist, but I'm regulated out of a job.
Rudolph, regulation. Say it. Profit is king. Profit is king. Regulation is bad. Hey, you got it, Rudolph.
That's
yeah,
the sound of his noise.
I love after Enron, after, you know, Wall Street, after all. Really, with overregulation is the problem? Really, mm-hmm. We're overregulating.
But people are dying. That's all right, Rudolph. It's part of the job. It's like, who knew Jack Kevorkian would have been a right-wing hero at the debate? You know?
Yeah.
Let him die. I can take care of that tonight. Yeah, right. Jack Kevorkian.
I got the plunger right here. All the candidates are hooked up to the plunger right now.
Yeah,
right.
It was like very Lord of the Flies, wasn't it? Kill him with a rock.
Yes. Frankenstein villagers. Burn him at the stake. Beast. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Yeah. Hey, we have this is Rick Perry here. We have a different alternative ending to the Green Mile. We're going to kill Michael Clark Duncan in the new version of the Green Mile. We don't like his magic. It's just like Harry Potter. So he dies in our version. Come on down to Texas and see the real Green Mile where we fry that big bastard.
You know how when you were the original voice guy for the Stephanie Miller Show, how we always your impressions were always hilarious because they were always a little over the top.
Oh, yeah.
A little over the top version of Linda Tripp or whoever. And I mean, Rick Perry is like an over the. It's like, oh, that's too cartoony. That's like a cartoony George Bush. Stop it.
He's like an auto salesman. You don't need airbags. Airbags are for pussies. Here, let me walk that back. I mean, airbags are for little girls. Protect them when they get in a crash. It was like Jim said, where's my haystack back in Lane?
Come on. Come on.
His Halloween costume.
Look at it. Look at my crotch. Look at it. Come on.
And what? I think it was a Republican that said watching Rick Perry construct a sentence was like watching a chimp trying to open a suitcase.
him and Bachman, you know. Social Security, I agree with Rick Perry. Social Security is a Fonzie scheme.
Fonzie.
She comes over and tells Mrs. Cunningham that she looks nice, and then, boom, when she turns her back, he takes her money.
And then he jumped the dolphin.
Oh, geez, that's right. The poor porpoises that don't get caught in the nets.
You know, Paul Revere wrote a dolphin to warn the British about.
Ringing those bells.
Yeah, ring them. Did you watch both debates? Because it's just, Rick Perry is obviously way out ahead.
How couldn't you be? You have Newt Gingrich, this is the most overinflationary what's his name? I don't know. He's inflation. No, it's actually, if you look at the facts, just watch one episode of Rachel Maddow, that'll take care of it. The least amount of inflation during Bernanke's reign.
I've skated, frankly,
time.
On an entirely... Winnie the Pooh attitude. If I sound as much like a Pooh Bear as possible, people will let all the crap I say slide.
Poor. He's like an extra with lines. You know, at the debate.
Right.
Let me a few lines. You can pipe up. We're really going to concentrate on Rick Perry and Bachman, okay? Oh, yeah, okay, that's good. Fine.
Okay.
That's fine with me.
Can I?
I'll get a couple lines.
You know, what's funny is that, as ridiculous as him being there, is the idea that Santorum is there. is a joke too. It's it makes no sense.
I just it's in poor Ron Paul. His suit in a suit that's too big for him.
Totally.
And just getting
shops at the Ross Perot store.
And Citizen Herman Cain. Right. Rosebud. I love pizza. Rosebud. About all I can get in. Yeah, there's really only two front runners. Of course, well, we only have one. You know, what's the purpose? We've got Obama, and you know, I think as you say, if there's not too much redistricting and voter ID kind of fraud that they're trying to pull, I think things will pull through in 2012, and we'll be fine. And hopefully, McChinless, if Jim Boyce does so aptly, will get his side to approve our jobs program, so people can get back to work.
Project bridges are overrated.
This is a political agenda. People dying at coal mines is a political agenda. Regulation.
Liberals go down to coal mines and choke coal miners.
I thought an important point yesterday that he should be for fixing the bridges in Kentucky. It takes a turtle a long time to get across a bridge. And, you know, there's a good chance it's going to collapse while he's trying to get across it. So what do you do, Carlos? We're in an environment where he won't vote for fixing a bridge that's been closed down in his own district because it might give the president a win of some kind.
I think you use Hollywood special effects, and I think Mitch McConnell and Boehner and all those guys have to be visited by three ghosts that have black lung from coal mines. I'm the ghost of Christmas. don't get it on Medicaid. Pay full price for that medicine.
The ironic part is that if terrorists blew up that bridge, they'd spend all the money to rebuild it, and they put $300 million worth of soldiers and TSA people on either side of the bridge to protect it from now on.
That's
surface to air missiles.
They would build it in the shape of a giant red, white, and blue penis. Eagles
You're right, Hal. They basically only react to fire and explosions.
Exactly.
Subtle erosion and
it's just not sexy.
Gases, that's not pretty enough for us. We need a big explosion to fix things. So it's precisely right.
We need to shock and awe ourselves. Here's the problem is they say it out loud. Mitch McConnell said, my number one priority is making Obama one-term president. One senior House Republican aide said, Obama's on the ropes. Why do we appear ready to hand him a win? So getting jobs for the American people, that's a win for Obama.
That's a bad thing. Back to what Hal said, the reaction of the right to the erosion of infrastructure is pretty much like the concert goers at Indiana. Hate to be so glum, but they're just watching. It's a high wind storm. The stage is shaking, and they're just telling themselves, it's not going to fall. Don't worry. It's not going to fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I've always said that Republicans govern like a dog in the front seat of a car. They got their hands on the dash like they own the place, and then the first curve happens, they eat it. Like they never expect any turns at all. As long as you drive in a straight line, the dog is like, I am the king of the car.
Look at me. I am a driving dog.
Right. And then the minute you take a left, they just bang their head up against the side of the car and sit in the floor for a while. That's Republican governance.
Yeah, it is short-sighted. It is profit first, and we'll worry about it later. You know, we could all agree.
Who needs to prepare for natural disasters or terrorism?
They should. Well, you're a voice deity like Jim Ward. They need to learn how to use inside voice when they're right coming out and saying, we want to defeat the president. That's all we care about.
What is it? One term. Whatever it takes, one term. Doesn't matter if jobs don't happen. It doesn't matter if people are dying on bridges that don't work.
I see dead people on bridges.
They need to use regulation. They need to use whatever voice it is you use for Faraway Dog.
That's exactly right. Welcome back from Scotland. Did you drink your Iron Brew?
God. Horrible. Iron Brew.
It tastes like bubble gum.
It tastes like baby aspirin. St. Joseph's baby aspirin. It's like a Mountain Dew that tastes like baby aspirin. They push it as a hangover cure.
I said baby ass.
I thought you said baby ass, too.
Let me finish.
That's a bad cigar.
Carlos Ozaki, where are you playing?
I'm playing at the Ice House in Pasadena this weekend on the 16th and 17th, Friday and Saturday. Friday at 8:30 and 10:30, Saturday at 8 and 10. Also, the Comedy Store benefit for Somali
Australia tonight at 8:30. Next Wednesday night at the Improv Lab, it's called the Comedy Slice. It's about a New Jersey pizza place that also does comedy, and it's a show within a show. So I'll be there the 21st, and all things Carlos on Facebook and Twitter, and that's where I will be, and I might be in your place next Thursday morning.
Awesome. You have to see Carlos live. Mm-hmm. Just the it's not just the voices, it's the physical comedy. I could watch you doing an arthritic pool dancing for its food over and over and over again.
Yes, thank you. I will come with my list of regulations on your studio.
All right. Carlos Alzraki, see you next week, honey.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Carlos Alzraki. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back. More Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like frisbee golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right.
Right.
You're bloody well right.
Right.
You know
Telly.
You got a right to say.
Right. Telly. Awesome. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Yay. Daddy's home. Daddy's home from Scotland.
Uh-huh. Yummy.
Tracy in Chicago. Lots of folks have some thoughts on art in Chicago. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
You guys can bring sunshine into a very cloudy day today.
Thank you. Did you say funshine or sunshine? Because that's either way.
Either way.
Okay.
I'm an environmental engineer. I have been for the last 20 years in Chicago. And I can tell you that guy who said there's no Coke available in Chicago is wrong.
Yeah.
I have been to a site where it was an old steel plant. It's no longer there. And there's a Coke plant right next door. Big house Coke everywhere. So that guy is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you and your fancy book learning, environmental engineering something. Whatever. All right.
Facts are profoundly un-American. Do we not know this at this point?
By the way, you pointed out earlier how we had said a lot of economists, but the chief economist at Moody's, of course, predicted the American jobs act will likely add 1.9 million jobs.
That would be a total, including the jobs created by the stimulus, be about close to 5 million jobs.
Yes, well, not if you're Eric Cantor, who says, bitch, please.
Bitch, please. Now, we've also seen stimulus spending before. Why would we want to go do something like that again?
Well, because Hal Sparks just explained it to you.
Because it worked.
Because there were no jobs. It created no jobs. It took jobs away.
Yeah.
It had negative jobs.
I mean,
jobs.
You can look at how many jobs. Obviously, there's bad unemployment right now. And if you look at the arc of any chart that's created about Bush jobs versus Obama jobs, it certainly is going up under. Now, there is a big dip right after the 2010 election when Republicans started enforcing their ideas on the American people, where jobs stopped growing and businesses stopped hiring because they didn't trust that the country would be here in a few months.
Eric Cantor, one more time.
His message of it is all or nothing, take it or leave it, pass my plan. Now, that's just not the way I think anything works.
No. You know, who says you get to be president? Have decisions and things. I didn't approve that. And don't talk to me that way in front of the help.
By the way, the wildly popular Governor Rick Scott of Florida says he will reject billions of dollars from Obama's jobs plan.
Look at that. Great.
Good job. That's a good idea.
Good re-election strategy right there.
By the way, didn't Rick Perry, didn't another governor say that he was going to reject all stimulus money except when he needed it to balance his own budget?
Yeah.
And then he took it and balanced his budget.
All of it. Like,
And then I'm going to secede from the union. That'll show you.
Yeah. How do you want to try to get a job at a company you don't think should even exist?
All right. Mary Ellen in Ohio with a response to Art, our caller from Chicago. Hello, Mary Ellen.
I wanted to address the question of the steel not being made in the United States, and your Chicago caller did mention that we do have a coke plant there. Mm-hmm. But most of the new steel mills use the electric arc furnace, which does not need coke at all. So the American steel worker can make that steel for those bridges. We'll get the jobs going, and those communities around those steel mills will prosper, and it'll be a great boost to the economy.
Yeah, but there'll be no pollution. Where's the fun in that? I want to kill some rivers.
And here's the other thing. If the president suggested that we put in and we only use American steel and we only use American products to do this infrastructure work, the Republicans would strip that in first order of business from the bill. And I think... But I think that's a fight worth having. I think that actually should be part of it. I think it would be really healthy if the president said, "We're also going to use
American
steel.
Made." Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Tina in Virginia on the same subject. Hey, Tina.
Hi. I just have one comment for the two guys who called the coal miners.
Uh-huh.
I would like to give them a piece of GOP advice. Find another job. Isn't that what they tell teachers and every other government employee who's been laid off in the last 2-3 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, exactly. That's that compassionate conservatism we've heard so much about. Anne in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anne.
Hey, thanks. It's great. Love you guys.
Thank you. I just wanted to say,
you know, if President Obama is trying to kill the coal industry, he's done a terrible job.
Right.
Because
yeah.
in West Virginia, we cannot get enough rail cars. They're begging for miners on the radio, the newspapers. They cannot get enough miners to mine the coal. Now, the one thing he is doing is his administration is trying to enforce the clean water regulations surrounding the horrible practice of mountaintop mining, where,
right.
you know, you have these companies blast off the tops of mountains and they put the spill, the dirt, and mostly rock into small streams. But, you know, this is part that these miners have been brainwashed by the companies. It started in the prelude to the 2000 election. It cost Al Gore West Virginia and hence the presidency. In their whole, the Democrats, Al Gore was going to destroy coal mining and take everybody's guns. And they started this Friends of Coal organization. It's in Kentucky. It's in Virginia. It's Southern Ohio. And they have essentially, with the help of the National Chamber, turned a traditionally blue state, West Virginia, red. And it's really caused a lot of, you know, Democrats, it's just a terrible situation in our state. But we're mining plenty of coal. Mostly it's non-union miners, but we're mining it.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Well, that's been part of their master plan, state after state, is to, you know, get rid of the unions. So, anyway, all right. Yeah, you don't hear them ever talk about Made in America, do you, for all their talk about America?
No, no interest in it whatsoever. As a matter of fact, they consider that un-American. That's
to make
one
it
of
America?
The reasons why...
What could be more un-American?
Why the trade policy stuff, you know, that, you know, I'm not a huge fan of free trade agreements, and that part of the jobs bill is probably my least favorite part of it. But that's one of the things that will bring them on board and get them to do it when they may not get the trade agreements any other way.
Yep. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, we return with Representative Paul Tonko, who I have actually said I enjoy your trucks too, and he still is coming back from the great state of New York. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. What is
Stephanie Miller
look like? You know, not half bad. Nothing you'd look twice at, but not bad.
Absolutely. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. I can't risk losing those important computer files. That's why I have Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite automatically backs up your files whenever you're connected to the Internet. Couldn't be easier. Go to Carbonite.com now. Do it now. Click on free trial, and my offer code is Stephanie for free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Lots of talk about the president's job bill. He's jobs bill taking it on the road. And Representative Paul Tonko of the great state of New York joins us now for his thoughts. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller. It's great to join you and your listeners.
And thank you for using my whole name. Now,
you're welcome.
So, Representative, what, already the Republicans, you know, after like, what, a day of saying, oh, yeah, we're open to this, it seems like this ad, they're already saying, you know, no.
essentially.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the president has shown an order of forcefulness here and sincerity on behalf of getting an agenda for job creation accomplished in this session. And the fact that he's taking his efforts out on the road and connecting to communities at their doorstep, I think is an important expression. I think it shows a lot of sincerity. It shows the urgency. It proves the desire to get this done. And, you know, everywhere I go in my district, it's about jobs. It's about job retention, job creation. And across America, if you talk to any of my colleagues, it's the same message. Jobs reign as the highest priority. And, you know, I think unemployment is driving the deficit. So if we resolve the unemployment issue, we actually speak to the resolve of a deficit that had loomed large, that was inherited in large measure by this administration. Some of it that was added to the deficit was done to save us from falling into a full-blown depression. And I think that, you know, the results are obvious. They kept us. Most of the economists, the experts will tell you it kept us from falling into a deep depression. And now we need to go forward and make certain that this recovery is real. It was a very deep hole out of which to climb, and 8.2 million jobs lost as we started this scenario back in 2009 was, you know, a very, very difficult problem. And so I think we're on a path here to provide for the dignity of work for America's families, and nothing could be more reinforcing than to be able to sit at that table and understand that there's work available for that household and that we can work together to raise families and attach to the American dream.
Representative, do you feel this time, you know, I know I've read a lot of analysis, but, you know, the president, I think, has played this very smart, you know, smartly politically,
right,
speaking. I mean, because obviously, you know, you and I have talked about it so many times. We've dealt with such just complete obstructionism on the Republican side. Do you think, because of where we are unemployment-wise, the nexus has been changed? I mean, he's put them in a tough place to vote against this, I think.
Well, I think so. I mean, it's, you know, the political theater or the contact sport that people want to create out of our political process is just an unacceptable outcome. And I think people are impatient. They understand. They reinforce to me every time I'm in my district, which is often every weekend and during district work periods, they reinforce the urgency, the sense of urgency. And I have to tell you, when some of these communities have been impacted by such unemployment, there are other issues that develop. And any of our state capitals are having a tough time balancing their budgets. So it's all about creating jobs. And I think that this president has put a strong focus on manufacturing, a strong focus on small business, on innovation, on worker development, investing in workers, and making certain that we have the high-tech response in a situation where, in a global economy, America can compete and compete effectively and on a winning note. And I think that these investments are required,
right,
for us to win those contracts.
I think a lot of us have this fatigue of going, oh, God, are we going through this again? I mean, I read one headline today I got to ask you about. Mm-hmm. You know, this budget deal, you remember we were forced to the brink again, and you remember at that time, Speaker Boehner said, I got 98% of what I wanted. You know, the story today is apparently 98% might not be good enough. Republicans are thinking of reneging on the budget deal to force even deeper cuts.
Right. You know, I think that what we need here is the academics to take hold. There's no room at all for politics to just rear its ugly head and divide and conquer, because we all lose. You know, I go through my district and I don't ask people what political persuasion they are, but I do know that every order of the general public out there, from far right thinking to far left, and from Republicans and Democrats alike, people want to know about job creation.
Yeah.
And I think this president is on to a very universal message. And you see the turnout has been great in the communities. And when you talk about making it in America, I can tell you my crowds light up at home. People want to believe in attaching themselves to that American dream. They believe in that. They want that dignity of work, and they want to know that we can still manufacture in this country. And it takes building a network that, in an ideas economy, that invests in research, in research opportunities so that we can grow ideas, develop the prototypes, and transform into the manufacturing process.
Congressman, a lot of the obviously media storyline today is, you know, from your state about this the special election to replace, or not a special election, excuse me, the Anthony Weiner seat.
Right.
You know, obviously, it's being cast as all sorts of things, this huge upset rebuke to the president. I mean, we were going to lose this in redistricting anyway, weren't we?
It's a seat that's under great risk to be lost in redistricting. I don't know how that redistricting process will be working. It hasn't really approached the congressional seats yet. But, you know, all that thinking aside, you know, each issue, each legislative race may have its own local issues. And I think that, you know, this one will be put under the microscope, I'm certain. But there's no mistaking that, you know, being a representative from the state of New York, that in our state, the highest order of priority is job creation. And there's also, you're talking about a state that has been impacted severely by Mother Nature. And so when the president talks about a national infrastructure bank, when he talks about investments made immediately in rebuilding and building our roads and rail and airports and waterways, and putting hundreds of thousands of workers back on the job, these are not only important jobs to the trades, but they're also important projects to communities. I can tell you that I took a beating in my district from the from Hurricane Irene and Tropical Storm Lee. And within 9 days, my district suffered from an earthquake, a hurricane, a tornado, and a tropical storm. And some of the same communities and neighborhoods and people were those that were impacted twice over. And so we have a canal system, we have a dam and lock system that was severely damaged, we have roads that were washed out, bridges that collapsed. This is not only putting people to work, it's putting communities back together. If you're going to have a strong economy,
but, and once again, you're dealing with Republicans like Eric Cantor that are, you know, going to hold disaster relief hostage to further cuts.
Well,
I mean,
I can tell you, I know my district because I've represented in some, have represented it in some capacity over the course of 36 years, and so many of the constituents are like extended family. I know what they're thinking politically, and many, you know, very conservative people were angered when they heard about offsets. They're living without a roof over their head.
Yeah, exactly.
They're living without shelter, without food for their children, as they watch their entire lifetime worth of savings wash away down the water, or the waterways.
Yep.
And for them to read or have someone tell them that the response from Washington was, you need offsets, you need to find a way to pay for this, they are angry. And I transferred that information over to these minds that are just talking offsets. Offsets set me off.
Yep. There you go. Representative, it's always great to check in with you. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
You're welcome, Steph.
All right. There he goes. Representative Paul Tonko of the great state of New York. I thought my head exploded when I read this. House Republicans consider reneging on the budget deal. Remember how relaxing that whole thing was when they took us to the point of default? Now they're confirming they've been actively considering a plan to tamper with the August budget agreement by cutting even more from the 2012 spending in order to pressure Senate Democrats to come to terms faster on domestic bills for the coming year. So I think we should know by their saying today or tomorrow whether they're going to actually honor the agreement that they made with President Obama. Remember the one where Boehner said he got 98% of what he wanted?
Yeah.
So now he's maybe not. He wants the other 2%, you see.
I want 1,000% of what I want.
Okay. All right. Mitch in Wyoming, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mitch.
Hello. Stephanie, how are you today?
Good.
Oh, a silly question. I know you're great. Anyway.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on the fact that all of these politicians that talk about all the politicians on the right that talk about the stimulus spending and what it hasn't done.
Yes.
All I can assume is that they never, ever go in their car anywhere. They must take helicopters and planes, because if they did actually drive on the nation's highways,
they would see
that every highway in America is under construction. They're all being repaired.
Yeah.
And every sign on those repair areas shows federal stimulus money.
Yep.
Yep.
So,
yep. Exactly.
You know,
somebody should be calling them on this. It doesn't seem like anybody ever does, but that money is getting spent, and it's getting spent to improve, already getting spent to improve the infrastructure.
Yeah,
so,
and it, as Hal said, you can look at any graph. It quantitatively did create jobs, you know.
The other thing too is, I guess the joke of it is that the infrastructure that was chosen to be made first was roads because they have the most direct impact on a lot of people's lives, and it's a good way to spend your money. It's an adult thing to do, but people get so irritated by traffic that in some ways I think some negative publicity has actually come to the stimulus package. Like, oh great,
great,
I'm going to be
a traffic jam.
I'm going to lose the job I have for just because of stupid construction on the road, you know. Whereas, you know, maybe the electrical grid and broadband and stuff would have been one of those things, but it wouldn't have been as visible.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I want to do bad things with you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. He's
Hello.
Back. Daddy's home. Mm-hmm. Sexy Liberal back in action. Check it out, sexyliberal.com, for all the upcoming dates. Selling out quickly. Go get it. And also more of Mama's vacation pictures from France are up.
Aww. That's just lovely. I just think that's lovely. And you went to France.
Bonjour, je suis là. Okay, so... Yes, thank you. They're up at sexyliberal.com, stephanieMiller.com, and all the Facebooks and the things.
What? Whatever.
All the kids are doing. Mm. I think there's even Twitter links. Okay, let's go to Elaine.
Thank you, Joey Lawrence.
Elaine in New York. Hi, Elaine. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
New York 9 was a huge referendum on Obama yesterday. Obama expects Israel to negotiate with Hamas. That defies logic. They're a terrorist group. Uh-huh. And yet he lets Hamas and the Palestinians send rockets to Israel, have their children's textbooks inciting to kill Jews 24/7 in their media. I'm independent, and I'm voting for any Republican. This man is anti-Israel. And also in this area.
That's a huge reach, ma'am. To say that Obama is anti-Israel
is a huge reach.
Come on, 2.5 years. Working towards a Palestinian solution
Hamas,
and a two-state solution has been supported by a lot of Israelis as well.
The left hates Israel. Everybody knows. The progressives.
The left hates Israel?
Well, we're voting for Republicans.
Yeah, because that's right. Because Republicans don't have an anti-Semitic line at all. She just hung up.
No, she didn't. Shoot.
Oh,
no. All right, I thought she did.
Oh, well.
All right.
His name's Hussein.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's nice to know there are bigots on all sides, I suppose. But the idea that the left somehow hates Israel...
There's a left in Israel, too, that wants
a
two-state solution to the problem.
Yes. Exactly.
Does she not understand this?
Has she not been to Israel? His position is...
When she talks about Israel, she means the Likud party.
Right.
That they're synonymous with... There are no other political opinions.
Because regardless of the people in Israel, it's the government that matters more than anything. And in the same way that George Bush spoke for all Americans.
Yeah.
Russell in Kentucky would like Ural to fix the bridge. Hello, Russell.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I just think it's funny how Mitch McConnell, being from Kentucky, says that it's wasteful spending when we need bridges here in Kentucky. We have a Sherman Minden Bridge that's shut down indefinitely, and it's taking people to make a 20-minute commute, 2 to 3 hours. And it's also funny that John Boehner don't want to work with President Obama, because coming out of Cincinnati into Kentucky, there's a bridge that's a double-deck bridge that when you go across it, sometimes you have pieces of concrete falling off onto your vehicle.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yes, because
infrastructure
French and
gay and French.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And now another edition of Dueling Jews. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, speaking for the opposition. Hello, Sue.
Anytime, anywhere. I'm the daughter of Holocaust survivors, so tell that woman to suck it. This is a letter from
This is a letter from Benjamin Netanyahu that was issued on Monday. I would like to express my gratitude to the President of the United States, Barack Obama. I asked for his help. This was a decisive and faithful moment. He said, I will do everything I can, and so he did. He used every considerable means and influence of the United States to help us. We owe him a special measure of gratitude. That was in response to the events.
Well, he's a well-known anti-Semite, that Netanyahu.
Yes. Yeah, President Obama always said the bond between the United States and Israel is unbreakable, forged by history and shared democratic ideals. So as I wrote Bill Kristol, and as I want to tell that woman, and forgive me for repeating myself, tell them to go suck it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Sue. All
right, now. I love you.
Hey, guess what? Sarah Palin's finally irritating herself as much as she's irritating the rest of us.
What?
That's not possible. She'd turn inward like a black hole or something.
She's sick of her teasing us over whether she's running for president or not. She went on the Greta Van Susteren show. She said, still very engaged internally with my family, you betcha, on discussions and whether we should do this or not, Greta. But in the meantime, I'm getting kind of a kick of getting out there, giving a speech, making some statements about some things that must be discussed. And then the next day, watching some of the candidates get out there and discuss what was it that we just talked about.
Oh, boy.
She indicated she herself is among those tired of the will she or won't she. Well, then why don't you just...
Shut up!
Shut up! Wow. I'm sick of giving the same answer. Believe me, I'm anxious to give an answer and get on with my life one way or another. But whatever direction life takes me, I'm going to continue to speak up for we the people and the Tea Party movement and the Mama Grizzlies. Also, too,
and all my branding elements or whatever. Like, every time you hear her talk, it's like looking at a NASCAR jumpsuit. Yeah. It's just exactly. A series of slogans. Brand slogans that are totally disconnected and that the person inside has no interest in.
Yeah,
I don't use Viagra. Maybe Penzoil once in a while, but even that, I'm not sure about.
Penzoil with my Viagra.
Right, it's the same thing.
In other news, speaking of women that are qualified to hold higher office, Hillary Clinton says chances she will run against Barack Obama below zero, despite Dick Cheney urging her to.
Oh well,
he's so helpful.
How could she resist that?
He's so helpful.
He suggests that.
Also, speaking of women that should be in office, Elizabeth Warren running against the centerfold, Scott Brown in Massachusetts. I love this.
Senator.
He is a centerfold. Okay. The headline is, after helping banks water down Dodd-Frank, Scott Brown tries to claim he's the real Wall Street reformer, not her.
Right.
Yeah. He appears to be trying to portray himself as a stronger Wall Street reformer than Elizabeth Warren. That'll be a neat trick if he can do it. Saying that he worked hard to ensure the passage of Dodd-Frank financial reform. I think it's pretty well known that he watered that down because he gets a lot of money from banks. He gets a lot of money from banks.
Sure. Mm.
Huh. I think she's awesome. I hope she wins is all I'm saying.
Oh, man. She'll be fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Oh, we have a big concert coming up. Little celebrity stack before we go. Lady Gaga, Usher. Bono, Bill Clinton. There's going to be at the Hollywood Bowl October 15th for the Bill Clinton Foundation.
All right.
Yeah, Decade of Difference, concert celebrity, blah, blah, blah. More big names to be added. Speaking of which, Gloria Estefan is a happy clappy like us. She loves Obama, how sparks. Mm-hmm. She says, I think he's going to be reelected. I think he's doing a good job. I wish the president had a lot more power than he does, but he doesn't. This has to be something the Congress, the Senate, the American people decide, everybody together. Hmm. When has she not been right? The rhythm is going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all know that.
I can feel it.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it.
The arrhythmia is going to get you.
Or arrhythmia. Either one will get you.
Dick Cheney.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Arrhythmia is going to get you.
Wow! Speaking of Sarah Palin, Levi Johnson says in his new book that Bristol Palin was so angry about her mother's pregnancy with Trigg that she wanted to get pregnant. It was a revenge pregnancy?
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Those are some family values there. Yikes.
I'll get more pregnanter than you.
Oh, there's some Sarah Palin family values news, too, that we'll get to tomorrow. I've read all the details.
Oh, really?
One night stand with who? Basketball player?
Cocaine?
I don't know what that's about. I don't even want to talk about it until I have the details. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website, HowlSparks.com, the HowlSparks website. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Follow me on the Twitter.